Today's show is sponsored by Brooklinen. This week only, you can get free shipping and 20% off site-wide at brooklinen.com. How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to the Love That Lasts podcast, where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Stay tuned. What's up, guys? You're not going to say...
Well, I thought you were going to keep going.
No, that's like your cue to say like, what's up, guys?
Oh, hey, hey, hey.
Oh, they're going to say, what's up, guys? Just to set the scene, y'all, I'm drinking my spicy water, aka LaCroix. Alyssa's drinking her tea. And we are back at it, guys, with another week. Sorry, I think we missed the last one or two. We're pretty consistent every Monday or Tuesday, but just was a little cray-cray town. And so we just need a little break-break town. You know what I mean? But we're back in the saddle. Feels good. Hope you guys are well. We're excited to chat with you today. You know, before we dig in deep about what the Lord's teaching us and things going on and little nug-nugs, let's talk about Quiet Place and Avengers, because I saw both of those movies this last week with my movie pass, which
pretty
you guys
need. Pretty much just living the dream.
Living my dream. And I go to movies by myself, which I put that on my Instagram, and most of you guys guessed that. I did like a poll.
My worst nightmare.
My dream. Most of you guys guessed it, but there was 10% of people that thought that that wasn't my favorite thing in the world, but it is. Like, I just want to be alone with no humans, no talking, eating good food, watching a good film, and I pretty much am just resting in the Lord at that moment, in the grace of the Lord and the joy of his goodness. But, guys, I don't want to give any spoilers, so no spoilers, but, man, Avengers and Quiet Place, so good. Quiet Place, you need to go see. It's in the horror genre, which that's totally a misnomer. I despise that genre. I don't like anything that's like evil or dark or creepy or demonic or whatever. It's not that at all. It's more just like jumpy, more like a thriller, you know, like, where there's moments where you kind of will jump out of your seat. And there's like, you know, apocalyptic monsters, but they're like kind of just like gross looking lizards or something, you know? But the film that genre of like the scary genre is just a Trojan horse to talk about family and sacrifice. And oh, and the premise is so cool, which this, you know, from the trailer, but basically the film is silent because the premise is that this family is living in a time where these monsters hunt via sound. So the only way to survive is to be silent. And so it's so cool to, and so the movie's very, very quiet and it's really crazy to be.
Sounds awful.
Sounds amazing. But the craziest part was the experience, like even sheer for the sheer value of like it was a different movie going experience, because what other movie kind of like wraps you up in the like the lack of noise that much? It's funny that when the movie is fairly silent, I mean, there's noise here and there, how much more you're more attuned to the smallest sound, right? And I thought that was a good like metaphor, word picture for the Lord too, that, you know, just in noisiness, when our days are noisy, when our days are busy, then we miss the smaller sounds, or we can kind of just gloss over everything like a steamroller. Mm-hmm. But when something's more quiet, then you're more tuned in to like tiny sounds. It's almost like your ears get, you almost get like these sonar amplified ears when stuff's quiet. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And it was just, I thought that was a really interesting analogy with life.
So what's the analogy?
That like with the Lord and with busyness and noisiness and social media and all those things, that if you actually can quiet yourself, quiet your life and create rhythms that actually do that, you'll start to hear things that you don't normally hear, obviously in real life or metaphorically speaking in your own heart and what you're learning. But man, it was fire. And then Avengers. Oh my goodness. No spoilers. But that ending though, I'm still tearing up about it.
You can't say that.
Well, did I say turn up from
led
joy?
Astray.
Did I say turn up from joy or turn up for sadness? We don't know. We don't know.
We all can assume.
No, we don't know. Actually, it was tears from just like, it was just crazy. That's the best thing I can say. It's like,
do you think it was like the best Avengers movie?
Yes.
Really?
It was one of the best payoffs in my opinion, where I feel like they had such a huge job of incorporating all those characters. And I feel like they did such a good job of like, that's a big job alone just to make all 50 like characters actually get the spotlight in like a good way.
50?
Well, I think there's like 30 superheroes. Yeah. From over the past 18 or 20 movies.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's what's crazy is like that job alone of just kind of letting them all interact in a smooth, fluid way. That's actually like organic and natural to what it would seem like. Mm-hmm. That alone is a hard job. And they killed that. Like the people they put together were so funny. The story was crazy. And they definitely, like, you get, like, all these payoffs from having seen every Marvel movie where I feel like it was like, oh, I get that, or oh, I get mm-hmm. that. So, all that to say, what have you been watching?
Well, I actually took a break from Heartland last week because my bestie was in town. And we watched, well, Jeff and Shan, my best friend and I, were all talking about classic 90s movies.
Yeah, we got on like this kick of like old school romantic comedies or like old school like high school movies, like 10 Things I Hate About You, stuff like that.
Yeah, Never Been Kissed, those kind of things.
So She's All That. We watched She's All That,
but I honestly, it didn't do anything for me.
I'm going to have to disagree with that right now.
I felt like it was poorly written.
I'm going to have to disagree with that right now.
But I did love seeing Freddie Prinze Jr. I mean, whatever happened to him?
Yeah, he like, it's crazy the 90s people that just like, yeah, the 90s people that just like disappeared. That is crazy to think about that.
Yeah.
You know?
So we watched that, and then we watched Nicholas Sparks movie, The Longest Ride.
Yep. You love the Nicholas Sparks ones, don't you?
Well, it's a love-hate relationship because I really don't love ugly crying in a movie. But this one, I didn't actually cry that much, so that was a relief. And the movie, I felt
that ending is pretty good, though.
Yeah, I felt okay. I really liked it. It has Clint Eastwood's son in it, which, whew, but which I don't usually say that about any movie. But I think, okay, so if you haven't seen it, it's like about two love stories. So like a present day cowboy love story, and then an old like 1940s war love story, kind of.
And the one girl, the girl in the cowboy current story, kind of like gets advice and storytelling from the guy who mm-hmm. who's like a grandpa now, but was in the old war story. So it's kind of like that's how
they connect. I felt like they did I felt like actually the movie was more about the war couple, and like they did a really good job with that. But then the younger couple, I wish they had done a little more character development, and they would have like,
you tell them,
went more in depth with their relationship. Mm-hmm. I felt like it went too fast, and then it wasn't very deep. And so I wonder if any of you have read the book, and if the book is different.
Yeah, no,
if like the present couple, it goes deeper with character development. And if so, let me know, because I think I would read it. Anyway, so those are the two things I watched. And then back to Heartland this week.
Heartland's the best, guys. Which literally, you guys, I don't know if there's been any other message or any other thing we've talked about in the podcast that's had more people like Instagram or DM Alyssa than Heartland, which is just funny. I think that's awesome. People love that show, and it is really cool. I really love it too.
Okay, but my question is, and I don't remember if I asked this last time, because it's based on a book series. Is the series worth reading as a 30-year-old?
Okay, right.
Like, will I like it?
Yeah. So if you're one of those people that reached out and you actually like the, and you read the books too, then what it's based on, let us know.
Like, did you read it when you were 15 or did you read it when you were 25?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And what'd you think?
Yeah.
Because I may read it.
That'll preach.
Yeah. We're so deep. I know. So deep.
No, guys, before we get into that, I want to talk about what we're learning, what we're reading, and hopefully encourage you guys for the week. I want to talk about one of this week's sponsors, and that is Brooklyn. And now we love them because, I don't know about you guys, but we are, I'm 28, Alyssa's 30, we have two toddlers, and when you have toddlers, something about sleep just becomes more like insanely epic and looked forward to every day.
Okay, like literally for a week and a half, Jeff and I, we usually go to bed at a decent time, like 10, 10:30.
No, I'd say 9:30, but yeah, for me, yeah.
Well, I've been staying up a little later.
Yeah, Heartland.
But we are like early sleepers.
Yeah.
And with my best friend being in town and then a few other events that have happened, Avengers being out, we've had late, late nights.
Yes.
And this morning we woke up, you would have thought we got hit by a dump truck. We looked at each other and we said, tonight is an early bedtime. Yeah. And we pounded it.
Yep.
And we promised each other.
We literally did that, guys, at the table. We pounded it because it was like, sleep matters. And it matters to us. But that's why I love Brooklyn. And you guys, if you don't know them, they're incredible. They make awesome, awesome bedding that we discovered at brooklinen.com, because even like they say, the cool part is, or the funny part is, you spend a third of your life in your bed. Think about that. That's mind blowing. So it actually should make a difference on what you get and on how you sleep. And you actually start getting better sleep with better sheets. And they make,
that's a lie.
I know. And they make really awesome, comfortable sheets, no big markups. And it's really, really awesome. Now, the cool part too is I actually love the company. They were founded about 4 years ago by a husband and wife team, Vicky and Rich. Their philosophy is beautiful, comfortable, but not crazy prices. Amen to that. No unnecessary markups or fees. Most bedding is actually marked up as much as 300%, which is crazy. And they're actually the fastest growing bedding brand in the world right now with over 15,000 five-star reviews. And they've actually been named winner of the best online category as well by Good Housekeeping. So real quick, want to hook you guys up. Now, we love ours, and so we want to hook you guys up. Now, they have an exclusive anniversary event happening this week only, April 26th to May 1st. Yes, so you can get free shipping and up to 20% off site-wide when you shop at brooklinen.com this week only. They rarely do events like this, and Brooklinen is so confident that they want to offer you a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. That's pretty epic. And so the only way to get it right now is 20% off site-wide. Go to brooklinen.com this week only. brooklinen.com. They're the best sheets ever. Okay, so let's talk about what we've been reading, what we've been thinking, what we've been doing.
Sorry.
Oh, we going back to Heartland?
No. I just feel like I need to share this. It's okay. Nothing deep.
Oh, share it.
But we took some of my girlfriends and I who live here, we took our friend out for a birthday dinner last night at this fancy restaurant, and our friend Yeshua works there. It's Spago's at Four Seasons, so if you come here, you want a really nice meal, this is the place to go. But anyway, it's just so fun. I felt so spoiled having a friend work at a really fancy restaurant.
It was actually really cool, and he's kind of the attitude or like the spirit of like generosity. Like, he's really he really loves blessing people via food and stuff.
We felt so blessed. Not only was the normal food amazing, but to start, he like came up, he's like, oh, I'll just have the chef send out a few starters for you guys. So he brought out, and you know, at a fancy restaurant, they like
the starters are like one little speck.
But every bite, it's like heaven.
It's like creative.
It's like, and this is what will be in heaven. So they give out a little plate, and it was like cherry, like two cherry tomatoes split open with goat cheese and this basil drizzle. And it was incredible. And then
basil
they bring
drizzle
out,
or balsamic drizzle?
No. It was like a pesto drizzle.
Oh, then that is. Yeah.
With like a basil leaf that was like crunchy. And then
I feel like
bring
those restaurants
out,
do things that I don't even know how they do them.
Oh, every bite is just, and Yeshua kept saying, these are my favorite dishes because they're simple, but like so much flavor. Ugh. And then they bring out their homemade bread, and they bring out like a whole like stick of butter, and they put pink salt on it. So guys, if you ever have, you know, serve your family dinner or you have people over, just add a little pink salt to your butter.
All it does is elevate it. All it
so
does is
good.
Elevate. Yep.
And then they each give us like, it's almost like an espresso shot, like an espresso cup, you know, like from
small
Italy.
Coffee cup. Yeah.
Yeah. And it has their tomato soup in it with like a basil thing on top. Literally the best soup I've ever had in my entire life. We all five of us girls were like dipping our bread, like drinking it down. Then we ordered our meal, and then he's like, do you guys want any dessert? And we're like, well, not real, you know, we're really full. And he's like, oh, it's on me. Let's just pick three things and I'll bring it out. So they bring out my friend whose birthday, like a special, she's vegan, gluten-free. So they brought her out a special dessert. And then they bring out like three of their best desserts for us. And he brought out this like really special, like he each gave us a glass of wine with like, you know, like a sip of this really special dessert wine that is from Iceland, and they like freeze the grapes there, and then they extract the wine from it, and so it's just the sweetest part of the grape. And he's a sommelier, so he like goes around the world and he picks, and he and his buddy like go around the world, and they actually, well, I don't know if they go around the world, but they went to Oregon and they like picked out the wines that the restaurant would serve for this year. It just felt like so special. And then I was thinking of getting tea, but I decided not to. And he brings me out my own pot of tea with like a little thing of honey. Anyway,
Yeshua,
I just felt like
you felt loved.
I felt so loved. And I just was thinking, man, how cool is it that whatever job you have that you get to use, like that he's just in it. He's creative. He's enjoying it. And then he also just goes above and beyond to bless us.
Totally.
And it was like, anyway, I don't know why I felt like I needed to share
that.
I just
awesome.
Was
Yeshua,
like,
Yeshua, if you're listening, you're the man.
I just felt so, so loved.
Totally. Well, I think it goes to show a bunch of different really things. I think it shows you that food can actually be a huge relationship building tool, or just like a way to love and serve each other.
Yeah. Can I just add to that? It made the whole experience so much better, and it made it last so much longer.
Totally.
We were trying things. It just made it really special experience.
Yeah. Well, not only for the person that blesses with the food, but also the table, the people that are at the table, more conversation, more blessing, like something about food just continually, it's sacred. It builds up that and hospitality. And then it also goes to show that, doing things with excellence is an act of worship and is an act of loving God and loving neighbor, even if it's something, like food, and not necessarily like nonprofit ministry or building wells or whatever. So, there's a lot of stuff there where I think that's really, really cool and awesome.
And I think I just was more aware last night than I have before. I've never been a server. I've been a barista, but never a server. And sometimes that lifestyle can be really hard. Just the people that you work with, they may not make the best life decisions.
Totally.
And just like how much of a light he was in that company and in that restaurant, and even to the customers that come in, and because Four Seasons, it's like a lot of high rollers.
Totally.
So anyway, I just was really blessed by the experience.
That's awesome. All right, guys, I want to tell you about, I want to talk to you guys about actually what we're learning, what we're reading, and actually specifically how I've been thinking about the Jewish feast lately. But again, I want to tell you about the last sponsor of this week. If you followed us, you know we love HelloFresh. They're incredible. They're amazing. And basically what they are is they are a meal service kit that allows you to choose your delivery day for when works best for you and your busy schedule. They make it easy to cook delicious, balanced dinners for usually less than $10 a meal. I love it because it makes me feel like a chef in the kitchen. And so I feel very confident when cooking HelloFresh because their recipes are outlined and pictured and there's step-by-step instructions, and it's amazing. And they're super flexible, and you can choose from a variety of selections. They offer a wide variety of chef-curated recipes, and you can choose from the classic, the veggie, or the family options. And lastly, you won't spend all night in the kitchen because usually recipes take around 30 minutes. I absolutely love them. We love the convenience of it. The taste is through the roof. It's incredible. So we wanted to hook you guys up. If you listen to the Love That Lasts podcast, for $30 off for your first week of HelloFresh, just go to HelloFresh.com and use the promo code Jeff and Alyssa 30. That's JeffAndAlyssa 30. And if you use that, they'll hook you up with $30 off. All right, back to the show. Okay, cool. All right, guys. So to finish off this episode, I want to talk about what we've been reading and thinking. And Alyssa can tell you I got a couple books. I mean, I've been thinking about this actually for years. I think I just finally kind of got the little spur to really start researching a little bit more. And that's, I think for our family, and Alyssa would attest to this, we're really big on just rhythms. And you've heard us say that word a million times or another word is cadence. Or another word is like ritual, of this thing of kind of like, there's something to be said of these intentionally putting anchor points in your marriage and your family, or if you're single in your single life, that constantly make your life cyclical, meaning like put them in a cycle. Because so many times we don't realize the West is untethered, unhinged, unconnected to anything, mainly because we don't realize we think we're these pseudo gods that can, stay up till 3 a.m., never need sleep, push the boundaries, push our sleep, work as much as we want, et cetera, et cetera.
Hustle,
and not live by actual rhythms and cadences that are natural in the world that God or God given that actually bring more blessing to your work or to your life or to your marriage or your family. We've been on that forever. We do a traditional Shabbat, a family Sabbath. We do a couple other things and some big traditions. But I've started to, once you kind of get solid in those, then I think you start to go a little bit farther down the rabbit hole. And for me, I've been really, and obviously me and Alyssa, we've talked about it, but I'm in more of like the research mode, and then I'll bring it more to Alyssa. She knows that's like our rhythm. Of putting a little bit more anchor points in the seasons. And what I mean, I do think there's something to be said of, spring, summer, fall, winter, and anchoring into that. And I think there's nothing better than that to do, no better way to do that as a Jesus follower than the feasts we find in the Old Testament. Now, of course, those are traditionally Jewish, and that's traditionally a part of a Jewish culture. But I think we can take those and do those in a messianic way, meaning Jesus himself actually honored all seven of the feasts, all seven of the celebrations. And so if, for me, that's what really sells it, is if Jesus did something, is there something there? Is there life there? Is there something there? And you can do it in a messianic way, where the feasts were just arrows pointing to what God was going to do in a big and deeper way. And we find those that fulfillment and that anchoring in Jesus. And so, yeah, it's just something I've been thinking about. Do you have, another way to put it is, do you, the word I've been liking to think about lately is, do you have landmarks in your life? I think the Jewish feasts are really amazing landmarks. And what does that mean, right? Like a landmark, when you're driving, someone will say, oh, turn left at the bank, or, oh, turn left at, you know, when you see Mount Rainier, or turn left when you, you know, see this lake. Landmarks kind of give you, what's the word I'm looking for? Give you
foundation,
but like situational awareness of like where you're at and where you're going. It kind of like gives you a direction, but also gives you a direction in time, meaning it relates to other things before it and after it, and keeps you on the road of like, oh, I'm going in the right way, or, oh, this, you know. And I think that's just a good way to put it, is do you have landmarks in your life that you know are coming up that'll anchor you in seasons, so that you have a seat? Because if you don't, a lot of us don't realize, but even outside of Jewish faith, you can go to Orthodox Christian, you can even go to some other religions. The Western American world is so unrhythmic and untethered. Like, we don't live in seasons, right? That like agriculture is in a season, right? There's times to harvest, there's times to till the ground, there's times to work hard, there's times to eat the fruit of your labor, etc. And so many of the people in the world actually live on that cadence that really gives them life, but we do the opposite, right? Take the agricultural example too. We say, no, just spray it with pesticides, try to get fruit out of it all year round, make a machine to do it so we don't have to work, whatever it is. We kind of don't realize, but we're bucking or abdicating against the natural rhythms of the world. And so I just think the feasts are just a really, really easy, low-hanging fruit way to do that. So I've just been researching it and studying it. And they're really interesting, right? So you got the spring feasts are Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost. And what's cool is when you start looking at these with messianic expectation, you see that Jesus was very intentional with how he fulfilled what he thought he was fulfilling, right? His mission, his ministry. And the spring feasts have all been fulfilled in Jesus. And then the fall feasts, they say, are ones that are like kind of the coming kingdom of that. Those fall feasts will be fulfilled in Jesus when he comes back the second time. But Passover, it's clear, right, that the lamb was slain, that each family would slaughter a lamb and then put the blood on the doorpost so that then God's wrath would pass over them, and they would be spared. And so Jesus is our Passover lamb, right? When we trust in him, that we get to celebrate the fact that God passes over us and we are in full grace and love and relationship with Yahweh. Unleavened bread is a really interesting one. That one was because they had to leave in such a hurry that they didn't have time to put the leaven in the bread. And so it was kind of
the Israelites when they fled Egypt.
Yes, yes. And it was pierced and it had holes in it. And so there's obviously Jesus is that unleavened bread, that he was pierced and he was wounded for our transgressions. But on top of that, he was pure. Unleavened bread, kind of Jesus uses the analogy of leaven is sin, leaven, mm-hmm. the leaven of the Pharisees. So he fulfills that. The other one is first fruits. And these are all in order. So it goes Passover. I think these are actually in 8 days, all of these happen. Well, the first three, and then it's, and then
really?
Yeah. And then Pentecost is, I think, 50 days after that. So within 2 months you have the spring feast. But 8 days is like Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, which is crazy. And then first fruits is the day of, the day after the Sabbath following unleavened bread. And that is actually when basically Israel would kind of wave the first fruits. They would go out and gain the first kind of like a sample of their harvest and wave it as an offering to the Lord. It's kind of like, this is the first of the feast and the fruits and the harvest that's going to come. And what a beautiful picture of the resurrection, right? That Jesus resurrected on the day of first fruits, meaning that like Jesus resurrects, and he is that first fruit of all creation, meaning that he is this kind of this fruit that's waving as an offering to God, saying, okay, what happened to Jesus, you know, 2000 years ago is going to happen to us at the end of time. Like he's the first fruits of the coming harvest. And to some degree, spiritually, you know, the harvest that's already begun in all of us in regards to new creation. And then Pentecost, which is when it really awesome, when that was 50 days after that Sabbath or the day after Sabbath. And that was basically which marked the summer harvest. And there's a whole nother thing they do with bread and stuff like there, which is really, really cool. But yeah, that's obviously when the Holy Spirit dwells and descends on the church. So yeah, it's just crazy when you start looking into it of just like, it seems like, why would we not do these? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And it's funny that so many people push back against them of like, oh, that's religious, or oh, that's Jewish, or oh, that's, one is like, sure, but you don't second guess any other holiday you do, right? Like, you don't second guess Christmas. You don't second guess Valentine's Day. You don't second guess Thanksgiving. You know, now, sure, if you really dug deep into all the little details, like maybe Thanksgiving, you're like, eh, that actually might not be ideal because it, you know, is actually about Native Americans being conquered and colonized, whatever. So like, but so it's like those actually have a reason to be second guessed, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And we don't.
Yeah.
And so the ones that don't have reason to be second guessed, the ones that actually show true fulfillment in Jesus, why do we not celebrate those holidays? Just a thought. Just a nug.
Well, I almost feel like I was talking to a couple of friends about this yesterday, and I think it kind of applies just how I think part of it is our grandparents' generation and even part of our parents' generation, I feel like they swung it. Not everybody, obviously, this is a very big generalization, but they swung more to the legalistic side.
Yeah, they're very rigid. For sure.
Yeah. Of Christianity. And so our generation has swung to the grace-filled side and kind of like we do what we want and all this stuff. But within that, I feel like, and I don't know, correct me if what you think and what, you know, mm-hmm. if I'm totally wrong. And this was kind of a different conversation. But even in that, I think, so sometimes in our generation, I think we shrug off rituals or reverence or things that the church has done for so many years because we don't want to fall into legalism.
Yeah. Well, I think we confuse it with legalism. I don't think it is at all. I think
no,
it's,
not.
I think it's the biggest picture of grace. But yeah, we confuse right. it with like, oh, if it takes work and if it happens every year, then it must be legalistic.
Right.
Well, it's like, according to that, like, Jesus was the biggest legalist in history.
Or I think sometimes we can just get so in the mindset of like, it's about a relationship with God.
Totally.
And if I read my Bible and, you know, fellowship and worship, like that's what it's about. And that's what we've been kind of taught and ingrained. But the sad part of that is then we've forgotten to teach and learn about the feast and the rituals or things about Christianity for years that have been really beautiful aspects that we need in the church. And so,
yeah.
And I think with the feast, you know, I think part of us probably like they just thought, you know, the Orthodox Jews, they're not walking with God. And so,
yeah.
you know, those are Old Testament. We don't need to do those anymore.
Well, what's interesting is for the first 300 years of the church, the Christians did celebrate all the feasts.
Right. And so I wonder why they had
people.
That shift.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you.
Oh, well, tell us. But I feel like there is this new movement where we're coming back to it.
Totally.
And realizing like, no, these things are really beautiful and Jesus did it and it points us to the Savior. And just like you said, like it, you know, there's a really great thing that the Jews have with like setting these
rituals
within
cadences,
a year.
Yeah.
And I think the really cool thing about these ones is that they all point to Jesus.
Yes.
So why aren't we doing them or even just like, okay, well, I'll investigate in it more. I'll see which, you know, like how to...
Yeah.
Think about it. And it is harder because it's not it's not like a national holiday on our calendar.
Yeah.
Our kids don't get it off and
totally.
We probably have never seen it happen or how to go about it. And it takes work.
Totally.
But I think it's such a beautiful thing in our families. Like, hey, this is a thing that has been set for history and it's a natural, like it's already set in motion.
Totally.
So
why
don't we
just
jump in? And it's a really cool opportunity to tell our kids about Jesus and for us to remember Jesus and to be like, to have neighbors or coworkers like, hey, come over, have dinner with us. Like
totally.
We're celebrating this.
Totally.
I think it's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And obviously we haven't started it yet, but we're learning about it. And
yeah, well, we have in little ways with Sabbath and other things that I think is the same heart,
but not like
but
the,
not
big,
the seven feasts.
The seven
totally.
Feasts, yeah.
What's funny though, what you said is, and I agree is what's funny is it's like, we have this weird thing where we think it's like hard or it seems ritualistic, but the more I think about it, it's actually the easiest thing. Like it's the low hanging fruit. Like you, if you're a family and you're wanting to get closer to Jesus with your family, with like family worship and how to read the Bible and how to make things real and how to bring them into your real life, you have two options. One, you can sit down with a pen and paper and try to make up, like make it up, like just literally pull it out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really hard to try to think of like traditions for your family to do that honor Jesus. Or you can just like say, oh, this has been done for thousands of years by Christians and Jewish people before them. That sounds good. Let's do it. Like, oh, and here's exactly how to do it. Here's all the supplies you need. Here's all the characters you need. Here's when you do it. Like to me, it's like low hanging fruit. It's actually really easy.
It is. But Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it is so easy, but I think it takes us Americans a lot of work because it's not, doesn't like, it would take work for a family to be like, okay, these are what we're going to do for our family to focus on Jesus, because our culture is about, we're busy. Like, totally. Our kids go to totally. All these no, things. I agree with that. We're on the go. Like, we yeah. can sometimes... The holidays that we have in America stress us out already. Yeah,
totally.
So I can see how it is so easy in the fact that it's already laid out for us, but it's a matter of a family sitting down and being like, okay, let's do this. This is important to our family.
Totally. No, I agree with that. I'm just saying, I think it's funny that it just takes a mind shift to realize, like, no, they're actually not hard. Like, we actually right. you have exactly how to do it. You have thousands of years of time tested traditions of, like, here's a couple games, here's a couple ingredients, right. here's a couple foods. Like, it's actually been a time, like, it's a longer tradition than, like, all the ones we have in America with Christmas right. and Thanksgiving, et cetera. So it's just, there's a plethora of ideas and help.
But I think you have to be, like, motivated to pursue it because we're not teaching anybody about it.
Totally.
No, you I know? Agree. It's not yeah. like the church is saying, like, let's talk about the feast and this is what it does.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with that. It definitely feels like you have to go searching for the knowledge of it because it's kind of more not talked about anymore.
Yes.
No, I agree with that.
Which is so great that you brought it up.
Well, there we go. But I am excited to go on this journey with our family. And yeah, you guys can keep watching us as hopefully maybe this year we keep talking about it, keep thinking about it, keep praying about it. Let us know if you are people who dig this, if who do it yourself, you did it growing up. I know some families who have, so I've already been asking them questions. But yeah, I think that's all we got for this week. You got any final thoughts?
That's it.
All right. We love you guys. Talk to you later.